If you haven't met me before, and if you're watching online, hi, Mum and Dad as well. Yes, I'm Susanna. I'm part of the student team here. Come say hi if you haven't met me. Amazing. I feel like I don't need to say anything because Pete has basically done my preach. Thanks, Pete. We are looking at disciplines that make a difference. And last week, Philip kind of introduced us to this idea that we are in a culture with a lot of opinions, a lot of beliefs, a lot of views, and actually as Christians, is what we believe just another kind of voice in the conversation? Is it just another view, another opinion? Does it actually change anything? And believing something doesn't change the world. Practicing something does. And so actually, it's these disciplines, like Philip was talking about fasting. It's when we actually do the stuff, when we do something with our bodies that changes us first, and then actually changes the world around us. And it's these disciplines that make followers of Jesus, that people in this room that we want to be. And so today I'm going to talk about intercession and that kind of practice and that discipline of intercession. And if you've been in church for some time, you might have heard this word. You might know that it is a very churchy word. You might know that it is a kind of prayer. If you're totally new to faith and to Jesus, if you're not a Christian, if this is your first time in a church or one of the first times, intercession might sound like indigestion. I don't know. It's kind of one of those weird words. For me, growing up, actually, I grew up in quite an intense, like, Christian environment. And intercession was something like women over 50 did. No disrespect to anyone in the room. But there would be these women over 50 that would like go into a room and intercede. And no one really knew what they were doing. There'd be all kinds of noises coming from that place. And you just knew there was like serious prayer going on. And so growing up, I thought, oh, maybe one day, like I will graduate to intercession. I'll be able to like reach it. When I'm over 50, I'll be able to understand what that is. But actually, intercession is hopefully a lot simpler and more exciting than that. And kind of over summer and the past few weeks, we've been talking about the early church, the very first Christians that decided to follow Jesus. And they started to gather in churches and in homes. And someone that really came alongside the early church was a guy called Paul. He was very anti-Christian and then actually became a Christian himself and started to help the church figure out what it was to follow Jesus in their culture. And Paul had a kind of apprentice, someone that he was mentoring and coming alongside called Timothy. And Paul writes to Timothy and gives him some really important lessons about what the church needs to know. And so in that, Paul lifts the lid on intercession. So he starts in this, in 1 Timothy from verse 2. He says, I urge then, first of all. So Paul's writing to Timothy and he's saying, I urge then. I'm like strongly emphasizing this thing, first of all. And actually in the Greek, like first of all, the original language it was written in doesn't necessarily mean like I'm starting with this first. It more means of first importance or like primary importance. So Paul is saying, Timothy, I'm urging you of first importance, this thing of primary importance. I really need you to lean in and listen. And it kind of reminded me of, I don't know if this is just a girl thing, but when some of my girlfriends have like been on a date or like going through something really exciting, they'll come up to me and they'll be like, Suze, I need to tell you something. And you just know you need to lean in. And actually, a lot of my friends that don't live near me, this is where my full name comes out. They just text me my full name in all caps. They just go, Susanna. And I look at my phone and I'm like, right, whatever, something's gone down. Like, I need to have a conversation. And actually, what Paul is doing is he's like setting himself up. He's like building this tension. He really wants Timothy to know this and to not miss out. And so this is the thing, this is what he says. He says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Paul is like, I'm urging you of first importance to pray. But actually not just to pray, but he actually educates Timothy on the different kinds of prayer. So petition is prayer for me, is prayer for my needs and for what I need. Intercession is prayer for everyone but me. It's praying for my friends, it's praying for the world, it's praying for those around me. And thanksgiving is prayer to God. It's thanking him for who he is and what he's done. And so intercession, Paul uses this word called entouxis. And entouxis is a Greek word. And something that kind of really helped me understand this is a little story from history, if you're like me and you like history. It's a story about Abraham Lincoln. And basically, there's this, well, it's not really about him, it involves him. There was this soldier who was basically fighting in the American Civil War. And his father and his brother had died in the war. And all that were left were his mum and his sister back home. And they were having to farm the land and basically survive. So this guy is fighting, and he really needs to be home with them because they aren't strong enough to do the stuff, and they really need him. And so the only way is for him to like be excused from fighting. So he wants to be excused from fighting so he can go back home and help them. And the only way for that to happen is to go to the president and ask for that personally. So he goes to the White House, he goes to Abraham Lincoln, he goes up the steps and he kind of tries to get through the door, but the officials guarding are basically like, who are you? You know, you're a nobody, you're not allowed here. The president has way more important things to do than to listen to what you need. You just need to be fighting like everyone else. What makes you so special? Go away, essentially. So he kind of walks away quite discouraged. He sits on this nearby park bench and he's just kind of figuring out what to do next. And this little boy comes and is like, oh, what's wrong? Why are you sad? And he explains his situation. And the little boy says, oh, I can take you to the president. Come with me. So they go back to the White House. They go back up the steps, past those guards, past the officials, past all the doors, past security, straight to the president's office. And this little boy doesn't even knock. He just barges in and he goes, Dad, my friend needs something. Can you hear what he needs? Can you help him? And of course, his dad is Abraham Lincoln, the president. And he's like, oh, son, what can I do for you? Who's your friend? Let's chat. And so actually, this story really helped me because entouxis, this word that Paul uses, is in like a royal context. It basically means someone that can go to the king on behalf of someone else. It's like a freedom of access. It's a special relationship. It's a confidence that this little boy could go, not even knocking, could just go straight to the door and say, my friend needs something. And that is intercession. And actually, I have many secrets. One of my deepest, darkest secrets is that I actually never used to pray. I know, shock horror. I should not be up here. But I would read the Bible. I'd belt out a couple of worship songs in the morning. Love that. I even managed like silence and solitude, could get behind that. But there was something about praying for other people that I just couldn't get there. That there was a sense of like, oh man, What's the point of like me praying for an earthquake in that country? Like, is that actually going to change anything? And for my friends around me, they're really struggling and I just don't really know. I just couldn't get that. I couldn't get that inspiration to like pray. I was great at asking for me. If Paul met me, he'd give me like a tick for petition. I was there. I had my shopping list to God. It got to the point where I started putting dates in there. I was like, God, if you can do that by the 3rd of October, that'd be amazing. But when it came to other people, it just like wasn't there for me until I kind of understood what Paul is saying. And so he goes on next. The next verse, it says, I urge then, first of all, petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, including kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And so what Paul is saying, he's saying, Timothy, I want you to go to the White House. I want you to go to God, who is essentially the king, who's all powerful, and we can go to God and ask for those around us. I want you to do that, and I want you to ask that they would come to know Jesus. I want you to pray for them. It says to come to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And actually, this word knowledge that Paul uses in Greek, the language this was written in, is not just knowing about. It's not like an intellectual knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. It's actually, I know it because I've seen it, and I know it because I've felt it. It's an experiential knowledge. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, pray that. Pray that that would happen. And actually, if you are not a Christian, if that's not a label you'd use for yourself, if you're new to faith, if a friend has brought you, I'd love for you just to know that God wants you to know him. Jesus wants you to know him in an experiential heart way. He wants you to know it because you've seen him and know him because you've felt him. And if you're kind of seeking and feeling like, yeah, I do want to know God. Actually, God wants to know you way more than you want to know him. Like his heart is just that you would experience him. But for us as Christians, actually, it's this kind of like this key and this gift, this amazing thing that God is all powerful, but somehow he's waiting for me to pray. Like, God, you can do this. You can do what you want. But he's actually saying, Susanna, like, will you pray for this? I want everyone to be saved. I want everyone to know me. I'm waiting and I'm willing to do that. But would you ask that? Would you use the power that I've given you? Would you pray for that? And I used to live with a guy a couple years ago at uni. And when, as a student, when you get letters through the door, it's pretty exciting. It's either like an angry bill, registered to vote, or like we're cleaning the windows in your area, something like that. And so when you got letters from home, I feel like we're in the army, when you got like correspondence from family, it was wild. And actually, that letter is everyone's business. And so one of my friends got this letter in the post and it was like the handwritten, the stamp, everyone was like, ooh, like what have you got? And he opened this letter and it was like this £20 like gift voucher for like Waterstones, which I think is super generous. It was from his grandparents for Christmas. And we're all just watching involved. He opened it, just put it on the side of the kitchen, like, oh, that's cool. And I love reading. That would be amazing if I got that. And I just watched him put it on the side of the kitchen, like, sure. And days turned to weeks, turned to months, turned to actually almost a year when we were moving out in July. And this book voucher was still just sat on the kitchen table. And there was something in me that was like, mate, are you not going to use that? Like, that's gold, you know? Like, I definitely wasn't researching books that I would have bought with that. But I was like, well, how can you not use this? Like, this is free money. And there was something in me that was like, man, just use the gift, use the voucher. And I feel like actually prayer and what this verse is getting at is like God has given us an opportunity. He's given us a bit of say-so. You know, when we sing like heaven come, like your kingdom come, your will be done. What we're saying is like, God, I want your dream for this world. And we have power in that. We get say-so in that. That actually you have the opportunity to partner with God for his dream and his will to come to pass on the earth. And that's an incredible opportunity. And actually, it made me think about how so often my prayers are a lot smaller than what God is actually like willing and wanting to do. I've also part-time started supply teaching, which is so funny. And I'm like walking around the playground and someone is like, hi, Miss Raj. And I'm like, oh, that's me. Like, I'm Miss Raj. I've been called many things, and that is a new thing. But actually, going into a new place of work, knowing I'm a Christian, I'm working in church a few days a week, knowing that I'm going to have to share that, kind of made me a bit nervous of, like, how is this going to go? I don't know where people are at with this. And so my prayers were kind of fueled by that fear of, like, okay, Jesus, I just pray that when I go to work today, and I say that I'm a Christian, would they just like not hurt me, be okay with that? My kind of friend that I've made, she's great. Can she like still sit with me when I've said that to her? Like, can that just go okay? And that was like my prayer. And actually I felt Jesus be like, yeah, like I could do that. I could make that conversation go fine. But what I want to do is for that friend to come to like a deep heart knowledge of who I am. Will you pray for that? Will you ask for that? And just generally, I think, how many of us, you know, how big or how small are your prayers? How many times do you pray a prayer that God is like, yeah, sure, but I actually want to do all this, and you're just asking for this? How can you pray the bigger prayer? And so actually that leads us on to this question of like, how can we do that? You know, are we a bit too big for our boots? Or are we just like praying all these big prayers that we don't really have a right to? And actually, if you are kind of seeking and new to faith, I want to encourage you to pray the big prayer. I really believe that if you pray and ask Jesus, show me who you are. I want to know you like I've seen you. I want to know you like I've felt you. Praying that bigger prayer, God is going to hear that, and I believe that he'll answer that. But for us, actually, what gives us the right to go to the White House, to go and not even knock and barge in? How can we do that? Well, Paul actually answers that next. He says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time." And so basically what Paul is saying is like, Jesus has come. Jesus died. Jesus was like the ultimate interceder, the one that stood in the gap for me and for you. Jesus died on the cross so that I can have relationship with God, the King, the Father, who has all the answers, who's got all the power. Because of Jesus, I can go. And I can ask for this. I can pray the bigger prayer. I can be confident. I can barge in his office. I can go to the throne room. I can use the voucher. I can ask for this stuff. And so before, where I kind of felt like, why do I need to pray for other people? Why do I need to pray for the world? The question kind of changed from why to like, how could I not? How could I not pray these big prayers when Jesus has died so that I can do that? When Jesus has paid the ultimate price, how can I not use that gift and that opportunity? How can I say no to that? How could I let that go unused and neglected? Actually, as Christians, how can you not say yes to this opportunity? And like I said before, my prayer life was basically non-existent. And I really felt that earlier this year when a few of my friends around me were just really struggling with like mental health stuff. It felt like there was real darkness. And just like, man, I'm your friend and I really hate that you're going through this. And I kind of feel like I can't do much about it. And I know I need to pray, but I'm just not really feeling that inspiration to do that. And actually, this made all the difference for me. Earlier this year, with kind of the rent crisis situation as well, my parents were kind of told, like, buy the house or leave. And I kind of felt fine, and everyone around me was kind of crumbling. And I was like, oh, Jesus, like, I know I need to pray, but it feels huge, and I don't really know how to do that. But actually, this realization made all the difference. When I realized who Jesus is, what he's done for me, and who I am because of him, actually, I'm the little boy that has a secret relationship, that has a close relationship with the president. I'm Susanna, who's got a father in heaven that, because of Jesus, will listen and is waiting for me to pray the bigger prayer. And so what I started to do was just got a little notebook, a little prayer journal, and on every page, I just wrote a few like friends' names down, people that I wanted to know Jesus, people that were struggling, church leaders, like nations of the world that I really care about. And every morning, would just like pick one or two and just sit and pray and just say, "Hey Jesus, like I'm praying the big prayers for these people." And over this year, I've just seen a huge answer to prayer. A lot of my friends that were kind of on the waiting list for things, a lot of processes that needed to be done to get the help that they needed, were almost like fast-tracked, and things that would have taken ages were just like really quick. And I couldn't explain it, but it was like, whoa, I'm praying and I'm looking around and things are happening. My parents, just God provided for, they were able to stay in that house. And it just really was like, whoa, okay, like this is working. And I just like kept praying. And actually, you know, that's amazing. And the flip side to that is there's a lot of names on the list that I'm still coming to God with. I'm still praying for every day. A lot of it feels like, oh, Jesus, like, are you there? Is anything really changing in this? Like, are you working? Am I going to see the answer to this? And there's things on my heart, you know, huge, you know, really love justice and like racial reconciliation. And I'm praying for India and I'm praying for the nations. And some of it is like, Jesus, am I going to see it in my day? But actually, it's become more about how could I not? How can I not use the gift, use the opportunity when I know that my Father is there? And we pray and Jesus answers in the way that he wants to. Jesus responds and he answers in the way that he wants to. But actually for us, it's the question of are you going to say yes to this? Are you going to use the voucher? Are you going to go to the White House? Are we going to pray? And so something that is really helpful in that is a prayer journal. And I think two things that Paul is saying is like, one, will you pray? And two, will we pray? And actually, will you pray is this stuff of like individually, are we going to say yes to this? And so it might look like a prayer journal for you, just starting that. And for me, it started in just about 5 minutes every morning, just like two or three names. And over time, it felt like a muscle. It felt like I was building a bit of stamina and I was able to go like slightly longer. Those of you crazy people that run for enjoyment and run when no one's chasing you will probably know that actually when you run, like you might have started like 20 minutes and now you can go 40 minutes and now you're doing marathons. Actually, like this is the marathon stuff, that this is the partnering with God of like, Jesus, help me. Like, give me your heart. Give me your heart for how you feel about these situations. And there's kind of like an online version called PrayerMate, which is an app I've used before. And that's like an online prayer journal where it basically like generates names for you every day to make sure that you've like covered everyone. And there's some really, if you're on Metro Mentoring, plug for that. There's some really great sessions. But actually, for us as a church, we're going to say yes. We're going to say, all right, Jesus, you've called us. You've given us this opportunity. We're gonna take you up on that, and we're gonna pray. And that can look like the fasting Thursdays that we started, where as hubs and as church, we're coming alongside each other. We're saying like, your prayer is my prayer, and I want to pray with you. And we're praying for God's dreams to happen here on earth. And those prayer hubs that Pete was talking about. Society Cafe, 7:30 in the morning on a Thursday, launching another one more kind of around campus coming up soon. And so that's not just like, here's some helpful things you can do. It's actually like, will you say yes to this? And can we go together? Can we run together? Can we make sure that no one's left behind, but everyone is coming with us? And so actually, yeah, I would love to pray into some of that stuff, but love to finish with this big idea that wraps us up and says that God is inviting us to pray a bigger prayer. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, we can be bold and expectant with our prayers. When we pray bigger prayers, we will see the world changed. And I would love for us to like pray together. If you were like me and you feel like, yeah, I'm not over 50, or I'm not for this, or I'm not over that, or I'm not one of the limitations that means that I'm kind of stuck at this and this feels kind of long. If that's you, we want to like stand with you. If you feel like me and you are just kind of struggling to get there, not really feeling that like inspiration to pray, we want to pray for you. We want to pray that you would know that the Holy Spirit is in you, that you would have that inspiration. And that's something I can't communicate. That's something that the Holy Spirit can do. But also, in that back corner, when we pray together, one of the things that I love over there is when people come and say, oh, actually, this isn't for me. Like, I'm praying for a friend, or I'm praying for this cause on my heart or this nation on my heart. And so if you feel like, actually, I want someone to stand with me, I want someone to intercede with me and pray for this thing, we'd also love to do that with you. And if you're not a Christian and you feel kind of moved by that idea that God wants to know you, I'd really, really, really love to pray for you that you would know Jesus in your heart. So yeah, let's pray together. Yeah, God, I thank you for this incredible opportunity. We don't deserve it, Jesus, but because you died, you're calling us to pray the bigger prayer. You're calling us to pray the cheeky prayers, the risky prayers, the audacious prayers. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that faith would rise in this room, that those of us who maybe feel quite disappointed with this, just feel like it's a brick wall, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that we'd know that you are a God who hears. You're a God who's given us authority. You're a God that so longs for us to pray this stuff, that you're waiting for us. And I pray that we'd say yes tonight, individually and as a church, and that we'd see prayers answered. I thank you, God, for what you're gonna do. I thank you for the way that you're gonna answer these prayers as we pray together as one. And I pray, God, for those tonight that are still feeling a bit on the edge and don't really know where they're at in this, I pray, Jesus, that you would reveal yourself to them. You want them to know you. You want them to see you and feel you and experience you. And I pray for that, Jesus. I pray that you would do that in this room and in the coming weeks, that we'd hear stories of the way that you respond to big prayers. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. Thank you for this gift. In Jesus' name.